good to be here today. And we're here because we're friends of Calvin, we're his admirers and friends, but also, and more importantly perhaps, because we're in love with Jesus. It's he who brings us together. I thought perhaps the best way of beginning this event was to tell you of a time when I was sent shopping with my baby daughter, who was two. And so I went with some carrier bags and a pushchair. And I went to the local supermarket and went in and I bought the things I had to buy. I ticked them off on the list. I filled the basket and I went home. And when I got home, I discovered I had a shopping, but I'd completely forgotten my daughter. I was in the pushchair somewhere in the supermarket. So I dropped the shopping. I rushed back to the supermarket and thank God there she was. She hadn't been kidnapped. She hadn't absconded. Nobody had noticed. The social services were held at bay. Even my wife didn't hear about it. And it's a long-standing secret between me and my daughter, although from time to time when she wants money or a favour, she reminds me that the story has not yet been told. and it could be. So I remember the panic I had when I left her behind. And something of that panic is what we find in the Gospels today. So Luke is telling us about this event in the life of Jesus. And he may be telling us to remind those of us who've lost our children once upon a time how lucky we are not to have lost them permanently, and that would be worthwhile remembering. But of course, there's something much more profound in this gospel passage, which he wants us to understand. And it's to do with the way in which God allows crises to bring the truth out in the church. So this was a domestic crisis brought about by the fact that Jesus was 12 years old and on the transition of being a child to a fully fledged member, adult member of the community. And he marked that transition by attending to the father's business. But his parents were in the normal routine of things, and they hadn't noticed that they were at this crossroads. And so they didn't pay attention to where he was. They went on as they normally did, and they found themselves with a crisis. They went back, and after 3 days, let alone nothing compared to my 3/4 of an hour, they found him. But the gospel's full of crises. In fact, you might say this is the first crisis of many that St. Luke and the other gospel writers will bring to our attention. Some of them were very serious. You remember Peter, who had a crisis of being keeping faith to Jesus at the very end. James and John had a crisis when they wanted to repay people with thunder and lightning bolts. Judas had a crisis about where his true loyalties lie in terms of how he understood the kingdom of heaven. To follow Jesus will always involve us in a crisis or another, because the life that we get used to living will from time to time come into a clash with what God intends for us in our lives. And then we can either pretend there is no crisis and continue the way in which we always have done things, or we can pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We have a crisis now, a crisis in the church. If you look back into the history of Anglicanism, we've never not been free of apostasy or crises. Indeed, I think in the last 300 years, we've had a crisis that God has responded to. One, the first one in the 18th century was Wesley. Wesley, who loved Jesus and the gospel and refused to accept the apostasy of the Church of England, put the gospel and his love of Jesus first. And the fruit of it was utterly extraordinary. In the following century, we had Cardinal Newman, bringing a renewed sacramentality to the church. The church didn't want to know. Again, it locked it out. But out of who Newman was and the sanctity and his obedience to the Holy Spirit came this great refreshment of the wider church. I think in the 20th century, the charismatic movement was another response of God to the crisis of secularism and the apostasy of the church. And now the centuries have turned and we find ourselves with another deepening crisis. Who knows what this crisis is? It's hard for us to tell. But what we do know is that the Anglican Church in particular is failing to understand what's going on. How do we know that? Well, just by using the test of the Holy Trinity. The Father whose business Jesus was about, wants us to come to know him as Abba. But if you have a society in which fatherhood and masculinity becomes toxic, how difficult is it to introduce people to God, their Father? If gender and sex become so conflicted and such a matter of trauma that the normal access to God, the Father, becomes a matter of theological and civil and psychological disturbance, then bringing people to their Heavenly Father who gave them life in the first place becomes a matter of profound civic tension. Coming to Jesus, we come to him as the Logos, as the Word. We come to him as God made flesh. He's not a relativistic teacher who wants to amplify our spirituality. And yet the church, as it finds itself with competing spiritualities in the world, has demoted Jesus. This isn't the first time it's happened. There was a huge Arian controversy, and I'm not going to lecture you on Arianism, but essentially Arianism is a demotion of Jesus from being the living Word who comes to save us from hell, and putting him instead into sub-context, a bracket of someone whose vice we might like to take if we want to flourish in certain ways. He's not that, but that's how the church is beginning to teach Jesus, because Jesus tells us uncomfortable things, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and you cannot come to the Father except by him. And this whole revelation is a source of profound offence today. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to tell us something about the crisis, what we discover is that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into holiness. But as we look in our society, we discover there are unholy spirits. And unholy spirits want to take us in a separate direction. And so without going into an analysis of the culture we live in, it is a culture that finds access to the Father blocked by toxicity. It's a culture that finds access to Jesus shrouded by relativism. It's a culture that finds access to the Holy Spirit muddied by other spirits. But what does God do in a crisis? He raises up people who love him to serve him. Krisis in New Testament Greek is judgment. Judgment is not always bad. It brings things to the surface. It brings them to light. I'd far rather be a Christian today in 2022 than when I was ordained deacon in 1980. It wasn't clear in 1980. We did the normal things. We preached the gospel. We baptized people. We heard confessions. We brought people to church. But the fault lines of what we were struggling with in the West weren't clear. Now, today, they're crystal clear. We're fighting a totalitarianism. We're fighting a battle against evil. We're fighting against spirits that hate Jesus, hate the church, hate the Father, and hate Christians. Well, in a way, this is a wonderful privilege. Here we are, given the privilege of the Lord to serve him in this profoundly contested moment, and to actually offer him a sacrifice of our lives and our integrity. To come to this moment, Calvin's made a great sacrifice. It would have been much easier to go on in the normal routine of established religion. But the doors are closed to the life of the Spirit in that direction. And so that brings us to this point. Everybody here has been brought here because you have a ministry in the Holy Spirit. Calvin's is the diaconate, and God willing, the priesthood, and who knows what beyond that. But each one of us here is beloved by Jesus, called and anointed and invited to serve him. Who knows what God will do through your faithfulness as you respond to the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the struggle wherever you serve him, in the church or society, is exactly the same one. It is to bring honour to Jesus, to bring people to Jesus so they can be reconciled to the Father and so the Holy Spirit can purify our hearts. It's a great joy to be here today. We're celebrating the victory of God over all crises, his good and holy and saving judgment in our lives. To him be the praise and the glory now and unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Let's sing our next hymn. Come, Holy Ghost, our souls and spirits.